Hi, I'm Phil Farber, and welcome to MetaMagic.com podcast number 4. In many traditional occult schools and practices, there's this idea that humans have an aura, a field of energy that surrounds each one of us and reflects our thoughts, moods, health, and perceptions. We are bioelectrical machines of a sort, and any flow of electrical current will create some field, no matter how minute. There is also an aura of heat that surrounds the human body, a bit of atmosphere closest to our skin that is warmed by our presence. And there are magnetic structures in our nervous system, about which we know very little, that may throw off some kind of field or aura. Some of these fields can be viewed using esoteric photographic techniques or even using modern imaging technologies such as CAT scan or PET scan. Some of the occult schools also postulate energies and forces that may not be measurable by contemporary science. All of these point to the projection or influence of our presence on the world around us, and may be observed using tools or even by the heightened perceptions and synesthesias that might be described as psychic ability. There are several ways to learn how to observe these kinds of emanations, but there is a much easier way to understand and think about the human aura. This is a secret key to human perception. Our consciousness is arrayed around us in a cloud of colors, shapes, textures, moods, touches, tones, voices, and sensory experiences of every type. This is not an occult idea, just one that usually slips past our consciousness by its very nature. This is how we unconsciously process information on an everyday, every minute basis. In neuro-linguistic programming, we refer to the concepts of representational systems and submodalities. Representational systems, on one hand, is just a simple way of saying our senses. We have the representational systems of visual, auditory, kinesthetic, olfactory, and gustatory. Sight, sound, feeling, smell, and taste. That's simple enough. Now, the idea we call them representational systems because we tend to represent our thoughts in each one of these senses. Okay, when we think about something, the thoughts are not necessarily divorced from the perception. We tend to use our perceptions to create and represent our thoughts. In addition, each sense comes in infinite variety. Not only can each sense be internal or external, very often the internal ones are our representations, and the external ones are the things that are in the world around us that we perceive. Not only can each sense be internal or external, but each is subject to description by location, motion, direction, and size. Vision may be described with qualities such as brightness, hue, saturation, and contrast. Hearing may have qualities such as volume, tone, pitch, rhythm, and so on. Feeling may be described with terms including pressure, temperature, intensity, sharpness, dullness, and so forth. Taste and smell are possessed of pungency, sourness, sweetness, and similar categories. These are submodalities. These are the ways that we further make distinctions in the way we perceive in the various senses, in the various representational systems. When we begin to think about how humans organize thoughts, we may notice that any of these kinds of perceptions can be located pretty much anywhere in the body, and very often outside the body as well. When visualizing a remembered scene, only a few people will actually place the mental image inside their own heads. Most of us see the imagining as a tableau somewhere in space, usually spread out in front of us. It is significant to our thought processes whether a recalled image or sound or feeling is found in a particular location, whether or not it is dark, light, harmonious, discordant, smooth, rough, or whatever. While this is usually an unconscious process, we do often note it in our speech. For instance, I had that in the back of my mind. Now that we have all these choices in front of us, it's over my head. I was totally wrapped up in it. What a pain in the ass. That's rough. You have a bright future. And so on. Now it's time to find your own examples. Get comfortable where you are now. Take a deep breath. You can do this with your eyes open or closed, whatever's easiest for you. Relax and make a mental image of the place where you live or the place where you work. Notice, first of all, whether this comes as a single image or multiple images. Notice where you have put the image. What I mean by this is not in my front yard or upstairs near the bathroom, but where you have projected this image on the screen of your consciousness. Do you see it directly in front of you? Up or down a little? Off to one side? Is it close or some distance away? Is it in focus or out of focus? Is it a well-defined image with a lot of details? Or is it kind of hazy and indistinct? Is it a large or small image? Is it colorful, muted, or black and white? Is it three-dimensional? Does it move, or is it a still image? Now, some people visualize with more detail than others. And of course, this applies to all the senses. We can do this with sound as well, just to demonstrate. Can you remember the voice of a loved one? Think about how it sounds, what the tonalities are, how loud or quietly they speak. Now notice where that sound seems to be coming from. Is it inside your head or outside it? Does it seem to be coming from one side or another? From in front or behind? Now that's just a simple example of how we unconsciously place our perceptions or the representations of our thoughts in different places spatially, in our body or in the space around us. We do this unconsciously all the time with a huge amount of thoughts and perceptions. So typically, we are all kind of walking around in this swarm of representations that we've made around us on an unconscious level. Some people have them very close together and well organized. Some people have them at a great distance from them and scattered around. And again, we use our language to refer to our typical ways of doing this. Some people are very spacey or scattered. Okay. Some people are kind of, you know, dense. Some people keep things close to their chest, or they wear their feelings on their sleeve, right? So we use our language to refer to these pretty much literally. Now, in the field of NLP, there's some very simple ways and some very complex ways that this is used. We're going to demonstrate one simple way, which is called contrastive analysis of submodalities. Okay, you can just forget the name and play with the technique because it's really very simple. I'm going to pick two things that are essentially similar. One that you want and like very much, and one that you don't particularly care for. Okay? By essentially similar, I mean, let's say, two brands of cola. Okay, they're both cola. They're essentially similar. One you like, one you don't. Okay, or two different kinds of chocolate bar, or two kinds of mid-size imported automobiles. All of these which are essentially similar, but you prefer one over the other. Now, begin by making a mental image of the first one, of the one that you prefer. Okay, notice if this comes as one image or as multiple images. Notice where you have made this representation. Is it inside you? Is it outside of you? Is it in front of you or behind you or off to one side? Is it up a little, down a little? How large is it? Some people make their images on that huge IMAX screen. Some people make tiny little television images. Notice anything else about this image, okay? Is it bright? Is it dark? Is it colorful? Is it muted? Is it black and white? Does it have any special effects? Does it sparkle, or does it have a kind of photographic Hollywood filters on it? All right. Now just remember these details about it, okay? And let it go for a moment. And make a similar image of the thing that's similar, but that you don't like, that you don't necessarily prefer. Okay, and again, let's notice, is it one image or multiple images? Where do you place it? How far away from you is it? Okay, is it a large image, a small image? Is it inside you or outside you? Is it off to one side? Is it up a little, down a little? Is it bright and colorful or muted and black and white? Okay, and notice anything else about it that might be pertinent. Okay, now, just as an experiment, this is the kind of thing that you can try on for size now, and if you like it, you can keep it. If you don't, you can go back to the way that you've always been. Okay, take that image of the thing that you don't prefer, that you wouldn't normally choose, and give it the submodalities, give it the qualities of that first image. Okay, if the first image was large on that big IMAX screen and the second image was tiny, make that second image, the thing that you didn't prefer, as large as the first one. The first one differed in color quality. Then change that second image, what you didn't prefer, to the color quality of what you did prefer. Okay, and so forth, using the same position, the same size of the image, the same color quality, and so on. Okay, and just notice as you do this how your feelings about these different things may change. They may change, they may not change. In some cases, you'll be able to move one into the position and characteristics of the other, and you'll notice a change right away, something that you want to keep. In some cases, it'll just want to pop back into its original position, and that's okay, too. Okay, that's some unconscious faculty of yours, which is saying it belongs there. Okay, so whatever happens for you, just notice. This is just an exercise to let you notice how these things differ. Okay, if all you've noticed from this is that you had two things that you felt differently about, and you represented them in different places in your aura, then you've gotten the point of this podcast. So now, does this mean that the human aura is just something we create with our thoughts and imaginings and not some tangible field of energy? I tend to think of it as all of the above. We think with our bodies as well as our brains, and any change in thought, a shift in submodalities or representations, creates a corresponding change in the nervous system and body. That would mean a subtle but detectable change in our heat aura, electromagnetic aura. It would show up on CAT scans and PET scans and all that stuff. These are simply additional ways to access that same information, where and how we are projecting the artifacts of our consciousness. If you get good at noticing the subtle verbal and nonverbal cues of behavior that we all exhibit, you can often tell by eye movements, head movements, gestures, language, and so on, where and how someone is locating their thoughts and representations. More practically, you can just ask, too, if the situation allows for it. For the purpose of this podcast, it's simply enough to know that our consciousness is arrayed around and in us in this way. In future podcasts, we'll put this information to more directly magical use. This is also explored in depth in the Book of Atem and used in a practical way in the Book of Exhilaration and Mastery. More details about both of those books can be found on the webpage where you access this podcast. So thanks for tuning in. Check back soon for more metamagical information. Thank you.